each of you and welcome to a bonus episode of GBB Live. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your week and that you had a wonderful weekend. Happy Halloween to everybody as well. It's hard to believe that we are almost into the month of November, but yet here we are. But of course, with it going from October to November, that means that we are now fully immersed in the 2022-2023 NBA regular season, and the Memphis Grizzlies have gotten off to a pretty successful start, you know, considering some players that they were there without, and also some of the successes and the struggles that they have had so far this season. Of course, you can find GBB Live itself with Parker Fleming, as well as the Next Generation podcast, the Starting Five podcast, and the Core Four podcast, all at SBN Grizzlies across all forms of social media, at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. And as part of the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast network, free on all podcast platforms, wherever you choose to listen, that's where our shows will be for free. Just hit that subscribe button and you'll get the latest content when it's available. My name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. So the Grizzlies come into this week at 4-2, and it has been a story of mostly successes, but also a bit of struggles. And simply put, and this should not come as much of a surprise with the fact that, you know, Dylan Brooks, while he is back, he's still trying to find his game form. Obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Zaire Williams are both out. So with Dylan back, but with Zaire and Jaren Jackson Jr. is still out, the Grizzlies are still without, you know, three of their most important defensive pieces at full force. That is something that's going to come with time. But right now, the Grizzlies are having to adapt without three of their most important pieces in full form, though Dylan certainly seems to be working his way back after a very impressive game on Saturday night. Memphis is 4-2 so far this season. It would be great for them to be 5-1. They had plenty of chances to be able to get the job done on Saturday night, but one of the reasons why they were not able to is one of the concerns so far. Though again, this concern is something that likely will take care of itself as time goes on. One of the biggest problems that the Grizzlies have run into so far this season is defending the three-point shot. It's the same exact storyline this year that it was last year, and that's something that really hurt them late in the game against the Jazz. They just left too many open threes available to a team that is shooting the three very well in the Utah Jazz. I know that DeMichael Cole, you know, a great beat writer for the Grizzlies, you know, host the Locked On Grizzlies podcast with former GBB site manager Joe Mullinax, he pointed out that last year the Grizzlies were 21-1 when they shot 40% or better from three. But the problem is that the Grizzlies did exactly that on Saturday night. They made 12 threes while shooting above 40%. The problem is that they allowed the Jazz to shoot 40% or better than 40% from three, but make 19 threes. That's what the Grizzlies are running into at times, is that they are shooting the ball from three very well, but the problem is that they're allowing the opposition to also shoot the three very well also. As a matter of fact, the Grizzlies are 23rd in opponents in three-pointers allowed per game, and they're 24th in opponents' three-point percentage. That's why the Grizzlies right now are 28th in defensive rating in the NBA. They're just allowing too many open looks and other teams are converting them. Now, the reason why the Grizzlies are still able to find themselves in position to win is because their offense is performing so well. As much as the Grizzlies are struggling shooting the three, they're making up for it because they are defending the three. The Grizzlies are making up for it because of how well they're shooting the three. While they're near the bottom of the league in terms of defending the three, they're also in the top five of the league currently when it comes to three-pointers made per game as well as three-point percentage. So the term out-offensing, if that's a way that you want to put it, that's really what is helping the Grizzlies right now. Currently, the Grizzlies are first in points per game. They're third in offensive rating. They are sixth in effective field goal percentage, ninth in true shooting percentage as a team, and as I mentioned, top five in both three-pointers made and three-point percentage per game so far this season. So the thing that stands out is that while the Grizzlies are having their struggles defensively, their offense is taking the next step in terms of its evolution. We've known for a while, the Grizzlies are fifth in three-pointers made per game, eighth in three-point percentage. But what this shows is that we've known for a while, since Taylor Jenkins took over this team, the let that fly mentality that he has wanted to put in place for a few years, it's in place now. We'll discuss that a little bit further in just a moment. But it's in place now, and that is what is helping the Grizzlies be able to overcome their defensive struggles and still find ways to win. But the big key is this, is that it's not only that the Grizzlies are near the top of the league in three-point production so far this season, but it's the fact that they're also doing it in a way where the three-point shot a lot of times is the best shot that's available. You know, we discussed last year that the Grizzlies were towards the bottom of the league in effective field goal percentage and true shooting percentage, showing that they were not consistently finding the best shot on every possession. Well, so far this year, that has been much more consistent. And so the offensive balance has been there, with the Grizzlies not having to rely as much on points off turnovers or, you know, points in the paint. They're able to find their shot on the outside, and that's brought a lot more balance and a lot more consistency. So the good thing is that we've seen this Grizzlies offense start to take the next step, start to evolve more towards the final form that it wants to be, to truly be one of the best offenses and one of the more balanced offenses in the NBA. And while there's plenty of struggles defensively, you would have to think that as Dillon Brooks gets back to his true form, once we get Zaire, once we get Jaren Jackson Jr. back, hopefully, you know, maybe towards the end of November, then we'll start to see that defense really start to improve as well. So far, I think you certainly take the success that the Grizzlies have had. Yes, again, there are some struggles, but those struggles will figure themselves out. But it's truly exciting to see the offensive output so far for the Grizzlies, and it's going to continue to be fun to watch starting tonight as the Grizzlies take on the Jazz with a bit of retribution, hopefully, in place to get a needed win in Salt Lake City. But another key factor that has really played a good part in the Grizzlies being able to find success is that many of their players on the roster are finding success by being able to add value in ways that is outside of their primary form of added value, or they've added depth to the primary strength in their game. You know, it's not hard to identify what the primary strengths are of our main players. For Ja, it's his ability to get into the lane and being able to convert, you know, points in the paint, you know, into offense at a historic rate for a guard. For Steven Adams, it's his offensive rebounding. For Desmond Bane, his shooting. Dillon and Jaren, their defense. John Conchar, his all-around contributions. Tyus Jones, his ability to be able to make great decisions and playmaking. We know the strengths of several of these Grizzlies players. But while many of those players are doing exactly what they need to do, they're doing what they need to do best, their primary strengths are clearly on display, each of these players have shown improvement in a critical part of their game that has allowed for them to start to take the next step, to level up as players. And all those things coming together allow for several Grizzlies and several of the most important Grizzlies right now until the Grizzlies roster returns to full health. It's allowed for several of these members to be able to find new ways to add value. That's something that has been very important to this Grizzlies franchise since Zach Kleiman took over. It's finding players who can add value in multiple ways, because that means that if one avenue to success, one way of winning may not be there on one night, you can take another route to winning to be able to get the job done. That's a big reason why over the past few years, even when the Grizzlies' best talents have been unavailable, the Grizzlies' depth has been able to find ways to win, because they can win in multiple ways. But an example of one of the Grizzlies' players adding depth to what they already do well, let's take Ja Morant, the superstar that he is, obviously, so far this season. Let's look at Ja Morant. The thing that stands out about Ja Morant is this, is that his scoring has gone up to the next level so far this year, averaging over 32 points per game. Now, it's pretty clear as to why that is. He's shooting 55% from three. Nothing negative towards Ja. I hope that he continues to make three out of every five threes that he makes. It's not likely that continues. But even if Ja were to start to see a bit of regression on his outside shot, he's added needed depth to the ways that he scores. We know without a doubt, last season was one of the more historic seasons that we've ever seen from a guard in terms of producing in the paint and getting to the rim. This is why Ja is considered by many. Zach Lowe talked about it, you know, in his, you know, 10 things to watch for ESPN the other day. He talked about that Ja is one of the more must-see guards, one of the more must-see stars that we've seen over the past decade. And it's because of how amazing it is to watch him get to the rim and the resourcefulness that he has to be able to put the ball on the court and get to the rim night in and night out. But Ja talked about it this offseason. Ja talked about the fact that as special as he knows his ability is to get to the rim, he's also got to be more cognizant of the fact that also potentially puts him at a higher risk of being injured. And Ja had three stints last year. As a matter of fact, even I believe three to four stints last year, including his season ending early, of being out due to injury. Now, Morant missed this past Saturday night, but that was due to illness, no injury. Those type of things happen. Morant's going to miss a game here or there. But to remain as healthy and fresh as possible, Morant talked about the fact that he wanted to be able to add depth to his scoring ability, which included being able to feature the mid-range game more often. And that's exactly what Morant has done so far this year. Last year, Morant took a shot within 10 to 16 feet of the basket 13% of the time. This year so far, he's doing it 20% of the time. And last year in that mid-range game, he made 38% of his shots. This year, he's making nearly 43%. So not only is Morant taking the mid-range shot more often, he's making it more frequently. And that's making it to where teams now have to be aware of Morant being able to stop his drive on a dime and pull up for a good shot. If Morant can consistently make that shot, he gets closer to that unguardable title label that people like to throw around. But it's not only that and the three-point success. It's also the fact that Morant has been able to get to the line significantly more often this season. Last year, he averaged 7.3 free throws per game. This year so far, 9.6 free throws per game. Is he starting to get the calls of a superstar? Perhaps. Is he starting to be more effective in knowing how to draw fouls? Perhaps. But the even more encouraging thing is that last year, Ja Morant was making 76% of his 7.3 free throws attempts per game. This year, 87.5% of his 9.6 free throws per game. That's literally three to four more points per game from the free throw line itself that Ja Morant is adding to his arsenal. So Ja's not doing anything unexpected. He's not doing anything outside of what what's brought him success so far. He just simply is adding to his game. When you look at the top free throw producers so far in the league this year, it is an absolute amazing list of the best talents in the game. And that is why Ja adding to his scoring arsenal as being successful from the free throw line, that's why it's so important. When it comes to free throws per game so far, you have Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Ja, Damian Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, some of the best scorers that are out there. But then you look at their free throw percentages. 92% for Durant, 78% for Luka, 93% for Trae, 88% for Ja, 93% for Damian Lillard, 89% for DeMar. We talk about Ja having the potential to be among the best scorers in the game. Well, now his production from the free throw line is truly allowing for him to get there. So it's not as if Ja has now developed some secondary skill that allows for him to arguably be one of the top three players in the game. He already is top 10 in my opinion. But what stands out about Ja, when we talk about these secondary skills, it's the overall depth that he's added to his ability to score, and it's allowed for the Grizzlies to truly have their offense centered around one of the best offensive producers in the game. But it's not just about Ja as to why the Grizzlies' offense is establishing itself to be to sustain itself as one of the best in the game. As I mentioned, it's also the three-point production. Now, Ja Morant's success, that's been a big boost. Desmond Bane continuing to show that he's one of the best three-point shooters in the game, that's been a huge boost as well. But the other thing that stands out is one of the biggest question marks coming into this season. How are the Grizzlies going to be able to produce from three with their depth? Despite the fact that DeAnthony Melton has now gone to Philadelphia and Jared Jackson Jr. is on the injured list. How are the Grizzlies going to be able to find their success from threes? Well, the way that they've been able to do it is through players whose primary strengths are outside of scoring, those players now taking more threes than they have in the past, but as they've scaled up in their frequency of threes, their accuracy has remained the same. The main two that I'm talking about so far are Tyus Jones as well as John Conchar. Both of those players came off very successful shooting seasons last year, the most productive three-point shooting seasons of their careers. But without a doubt, when the Grizzlies lost they traded away Melton, lost Kyle Anderson to free agency, we're going to be without Jaren Jackson Jr., more scoring was going to fall into the lap of Tyus Jones and John Conchar. More scoring opportunities were going to fall into their laps likely than anybody else. And so far, they have stepped up and stood out. For instance, coming into this season, the highest amount of three-point attempts per 36 minutes in the season for Tyus Jones was 4.8 three-pointers attempted. For John Conchar, it was 3.5. Now, on a per-36-minute scale, Tyus Jones is averaging 7.3 three-point attempts for every 36 minutes on the court. John Conchar is averaging 5.7 three-point attempts. But even though they've nearly, you know, increased their overall frequency of three-pointers by a wide margin, they've remained as accurate as ever. Tyus Jones is shooting right around 39% so far this year. That's what he shot last year. John Conchar right around 44% from three. He shot 41.5% last year. So far this year, they're 22 of 53 for three, good for 41.5%. That is an incredible development for this Grizzlies team, because what it means is, remember when we talked about the Grizzlies are not only improving their three-point production, but they're improving the consistency of that of three-point shots being the best shot of each possession. It's because the Grizzlies are doing a much better job of setting up their best or most accurate three-point shooters to take more shots. Tyus Jones and John Conchar fall into that category. And it's not just those two. It's Dylan Brooks. It's Jake LaRavia. Again, Zach Kleiman talked about the fact that moving forward, he wanted to improve the shot quality of the offense. What he meant by that is that he wanted to get the most consistent performers from deep more opportunities to shoot the three. That's why the Grizzlies are perfectly fine with Desmond Bane taking 10 threes as many nights as possible. But that also meant more opportunities for Tyus, more opportunities for John Conchar, more opportunities for Jake LaRavia, and in certain spots, Dylan Brooks. And how have they responded? So far this year, Laravia, Brooks, Conchar, and Tyus Jones are a combined 39 of 85 from three. They're making nearly 45% of their threes. Now, again, that's likely to regress. Just like Ja Morant's three-point shooting is likely to regress. But if you could have Ja settle into shooting the three in the high 30s, if you could have Desmond Bane continue to be among the most accurate three-point, one of the best three-point shooters in the league, but you have those four players that I mentioned attempting 10 to 12 three-point shots per night while making 38 to 40% of those threes, you've got a recipe for the Grizzlies to remain among the best three-point shooting teams in the league. Parker Fleming talked about it in beautiful fashion on the last edition of the GBB Live podcast. But that's the thing about both.
Damn,